Hello and welcome to this edition of Patrolling the Channel for April 2009. Patrolling the Channel is a monthly searchsecuritychannel.com podcast geared toward educating security solution providers. I'm Nicole Damore. Today I'm speaking with Udemeco executive and data security expert Nagraj Seshadri. Nagraj is the head of product marketing for data security company Udemeco and has been in the IT industry for over 14 years. His security experience includes forensics, content monitoring, denial of service, intrusion prevention, data encryption, and DLP. Today we're going to be talking about the Massachusetts Data Protection Law 201 CMR 17 and how it will affect solution providers. So let's get started. So Nagraj, as of today, spring 2009, there are dozens of state data protection and data breach disclosure laws. What's different or unique about Mass 201 CMR 17?
Yeah, the thing about the Massachusetts data security regulation is it's quite different from the data breach notification regulation, as you just pointed out. About 44 states, including Massachusetts, have released regulations on notifying of a data breach, but that's really after the fact. So it's locking the stable door after the horse has left, or any other metaphor that you might choose. So this is trying to do something after a data breach, while Massachusetts felt that that was not sufficient. So they said, let's get proactive and preventive, and let's do something before the data gets out. So which is why, in addition to the data breach notification regulation, Massachusetts also has this new data security regulation, CMR 17, which contains preventive measures to prevent the data breach from happening in the first place.
And what aspects of the law are of particular importance to the channel? In other words, where are the customers going to need help?
The key part of the regulation that's causing concern, that is really around encryption, because the regulation calls for all data to be encrypted, including on laptops, portable devices, confidential data sent via email would also need to be encrypted. So, and including wherever possible, data sent over wireless networks. So we're looking at a very broad use of encryption for data at rest and data in motion across any organization. And that's something that really is coming up as a challenge.
So what can solution providers do to help with the encryption aspect of this law?
The first thing, of course, is the good news for the solution providers is, at least from their perspective, most businesses, especially medium-sized businesses and the smaller businesses, do not have a broad encryption solution in place. So this is an opportunity for solution providers to actually go out, talk to customers and businesses, and tell them that, look, this is a regulation that's coming out. And, for example, one of the key points in the regulation is laptop encryption. So this requires a separate solution to be installed on company laptops. So there is an opportunity to discuss a solution of that kind. The second would be encryption of portable devices, removable media, USB sticks, external hard drives, and so on, CDs, DVDs, so a solution to encrypt external media. The third, of course, is encryption of email communications. So that's another solution where you got to have an email encryption component to. And then, of course, you also have encryption of wireless traffic. So these are the broad areas with regards to encryption. Of course, there are other provisions in the regulation that talk about access control, passwords, and use of updated antivirus and so on. So these are areas where solution providers and consulting companies can help guide end customers on what is the best practice, what is the best course of action to actually have their systems up to date.
Are most customers aware of this law already and getting ready for it?
Well, from what I have been reading and hearing, there is not a lot of awareness, especially among the medium and smaller-sized businesses, simply because their people are so busy running their businesses, and it's one IT person or two IT persons that are completely responsible for the entire IT operations, including security. So it's not necessarily that they have the time to go out and get up to date on the latest knowledge. If you're talking of very large companies, they have their own security departments with dozens of people in it. So there's a very good chance that they've already looked into this and had the opportunity to understand what it means. But I think a lot of the smaller businesses are challenged by the fact that there isn't enough awareness of the regulation.
And the text of the law reads, every person that owns, licenses, stores, or maintains personal information about a resident of the Commonwealth shall develop, implement, maintain, and monitor a comprehensive written information security program applicable to any records containing such personal information. Can you just explain what that means and how solution providers can assist in writing this type of plan for customers?
One of the key components of this regulation is the need to write have a written information security plan, because the regulators realize that, look, to have some kind of an audit trail, some kind of accountability, you need to have something in writing. I mean, put very simply, it simply says that, look, if you're going to provide, if you're going to have security within your organization to protect information, you need to have that in writing. Because obviously when you're talking of any company, there are people involved, there are multiple people, multiple systems, there is always going to be a lot of complexity. So it's important to have it organized, well documented, and written. And that's, of course, to help the security be implemented and managed in a reasonable way. And of course, once something is written down, there's a responsibility to ensure that it's followed through. So that is the real component of that is a key point with regards to the written information security plan. And the thing about the plan is, of course, companies that do not have one need to actually write a plan. And though the OCA website provides a sample template of what a plan should look like, every business is unique in the sense that they have their own systems, they have their own ways in which business processes are conducted, and they have different types of employees and types of information they need to deal with. So a standard plan may not necessarily suit every business. So every business would need to have to work through their security issues and map that to a plan that works for them and also is in compliance with this regulation. And this is where there is a possibility or an opportunity for external solution providers and consultants to help who have security expertise to come in and help companies set up a plan that meets their needs and also is something that is within the regulatory requirements.
And once that plan's been written, is there somewhere that it needs to be filed, or does it need to be documented with any certain organization in Massachusetts?
No. As far as I know, it doesn't require that at this point that you or every business needs to go file it with the regulatory authorities. It simply says that, look, you need to have a few designated people who are whose names are on the plan, and who need to ensure that it's kept in a safe place and is updated regularly. So it's basically something that's held within a business. But, of course, the thing is the law is still in early stages, so we are not sure of how it would evolve in terms of having the plan. For example, I mean, if a company suffers a breach and, in fact, they do have a plan or they didn't have a plan, maybe they may come under greater scrutiny. But again, this is left to the regulators to see how they're going to actually enforce these things. But bottom line is every company needs to have a plan. They need to have that within their company offices, and they need to have several people who are designated keepers of the plan.
Should channel partners encourage customers to identify and segment sensitive personal data for the purposes of compliance, or should they simply assume that all data is sensitive personal data? Which of those paths makes more sense?
Well, again, it depends on the amount of data that one has. I mean, again, one cannot give of complete answer to this. For example, let me start with an example. Now, one of the key provisions or key requirements is encryption of laptops. Now, typically, when you come to encryption of laptops, the best practice approach is to use what is known as full disk encryption, where you encrypt the entire laptop hard disk, regardless of what data is stored on that. And the reason for doing that is it's a lot easier to encrypt the entire hard disk than to figure out, oh, which folder has that bit of personal information that needs to be encrypted, or which Windows temporary file might have personal information. So to avoid confusion or uncertainty there, the approach is let's just encrypt everything. Now, that works for full disks, but if you have data spread across your entire organization, where you may have HR, you may have admin, you may have sales, marketing, you may have other departments within a company, and maybe there are parts of the company where they don't deal with personal information. So in those instances, it may not make sense to actually overburden or spend extra money to actually have a separate system in place. So again, I think it coming back to my earlier point on the written information security plan, it's important to evaluate the real requirement, because the fact is that companies will have to spend some money to encrypt their systems. So if it's a blanket encrypt everything, it could be expensive for the company, but on the other hand, it may not. So again, companies need to evaluate whether, firstly, can they afford to encrypt everything? If they cannot, can they ensure that data is within certain systems that they completely protect? Or if there's data lying in places where it shouldn't be in the first place, just go delete it, remove it, so then you don't need to worry about securing it. So the big piece of that, which is often overlooked, is if there is some information that I do not need to use or do not need to have, let me just shred it, destroy that information so I don't need to worry about protecting it. So that, I think that is something that companies should also look at, and that doesn't cost anything.
Okay, so you mentioned that you didn't think that there was a lot of awareness of this law, especially in SMBs. So is it important to start for solution providers to start working on compliance now with customers, even though the deadline has been pushed back to 2010?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think now the deadline looks a little more realistic than when it was in May, because if companies said, I hadn't even heard about the regulation in January or February, and they had to comply by May, it's a very short timeline. But I think now it's looking a little more realistic. We still have over 6 months for companies to look at, and I think it's a great opportunity for solution providers to go back to their existing customers and talk to them about this regulation and see if it applies to them, and discuss with them how they could help them achieve compliance.
That's actually all I have for today. Thank you very much for joining us, Nagaraj.
Thank you, Nicole.
For more information on data protection or any other Security Channel topic, please visit searchsecuritychannel.com. This has been Patrolling the Channel for April 2009. Thanks for listening.